This is WBAI New York. Listen to sponsored commercial-free radio, where it is now 8 minutes after the hour. First, we go to California, where American veterans of the wars in Iraq and Afghanistan are suing the U.S. government, claiming inadequate care is leading to an increase in suicides. A San Francisco court began hearing arguments in the class action lawsuit against the Department of Veterans Affairs a few hours ago. The veterans say the department has been unable to deal with the growing incidence of depression and suicides, but government lawyers argue that the department has been devoting more resources to mental health recently. In court papers, the two nonprofit groups representing the veterans write that failure to provide care is manifesting itself in an epidemic of suicides. An average of 18 war veterans kill themselves each day, five of them under Department of Veterans Affairs care. This according to a December email between top department officials that has been filed as part of the federal lawsuit. And the RAND Corporation just recently released a study that shows some 300,000 troops, about 20% of those deployed, are suffering from depression or post-traumatic stress disorder after serving in Iraq or Afghanistan. The two organizations involved in the legal action are asking U.S. District Judge Samuel Conte, who is himself a World War II Army veteran, to order the VA to overhaul its system drastically. We're joined now for an inside look at what's happening at the trial by the award-winning journalist Joshua Coors, who is covering the trial in California. Mr. Coors is widely acclaimed for his in-depth coverage of veterans' affairs, including an investigative series in The Nation magazine, wherein he exposed the systemic misdiagnosing of sick soldiers, thereby denying them lifetime disability and medical benefits that potentially could cost in the billions of dollars. Good afternoon, Mr. Joshua Coors.
Good to be with you, Hugh.
Okay, I know that the trial began a few hours ago. It is continuing. Thank you for making time to join us with an update. What has happened so far?
Well, it has been the blockbuster that everyone had suspected it would be. The VA is basically painting a rosy picture of the VA, and the veterans up there are talking about how it has been a complete disaster. The blockbuster portion up to this point were the internal emails that have been revealed and put up on the screen, to the disgust and surprise of everyone in the audience, particularly the emails that in themselves showed they were not meant for the public. One from Dr. Ira Katz said, "This is not to be revealed to CBS News." CBS News, as you know, did a fantastic piece a few weeks ago about the epidemic of suicides, as you mentioned in your introduction, 18 a day coming out of this Iraq and Afghanistan wars. What this email noted is that the VA is seeing 1,000 suicide attempts at its facility every month. The email said, "This is something we should address amongst ourselves before someone outside of the organization stumbles upon it."
Now, the Veterans Administration is claiming that in their court filings that they've spent about $3.8 billion on mental health, and they've also hired thousands of mental health professionals in the past 2.5 years. Has that come up at issue yet?
It has. The VA is describing itself as a world-class organization. In fact, it began its defense by saying that the American public knows it's a world-class organization, because that description was highlighted by ABC News, as someone who's provided reporting for ABC News in recent months, along with reporter Bob Woodruff. I can say that simply is not the case from that organization, nor from any of the other ones like CBS News, who've been reporting on this situation. The delays have been remarkable. As the veterans' rights group testifying here today has shown, it takes about 455 days just to get a hearing for your case. And if you feel that your case was not properly adjudicated and that you were not given the full benefits you deserve, you can appeal. That appeals process takes another 3 years. By that point, a lot of these soldiers are too sick to push on, and they're also either dead or beyond the point in which they can truly be healed. One of the other truly surprising aspects of this, Hugh, was a description of what rights the soldiers have in going through this process. It was a lot of legal jargon going back and forth. Even for those of us who are experts in this field and been reporting on it for years, it's a lot to keep up with. As they pointed out, wounded soldiers are not allowed a lawyer during this process. How a soldier who's brain damaged coming out of Iraq would be able to push his case forward through this legal minefield is anybody's guess.
We're talking with the award-winning journalist Joshua Kurz, who is covering the trial that began in California today. A San Francisco judge hearing arguments in a class-action lawsuit against the Department of Veterans Affairs. The veterans, through two nonprofit organizations, Veterans of the Wars in Iraq and Afghanistan, suing the U.S. government, claiming inadequate care is leading to an increase in suicides. And if you have specific questions on this issue for Mr. Kurz, we can take them at 212-209-2900. That's 212-209-2900. Featuring prominently in the presentation by the plaintiffs in this case is the alarming incidence of PTSD, post-traumatic stress disorder. Talk a bit about how that factors into the issue before the court.
Sure. Well, anyone who's followed the veteran situation knows the backlog of cases is extraordinary. Right now, we're seeing about 600,000 cases stacked up and ready to take care of. The PTSD problem is something that really hasn't even been addressed. With the small number of wounded that have been acknowledged by the administration, that doesn't take into account the 300,000 that are coming back with post-traumatic stress disorder. That would be short-term memory loss and inability to function in a basic job situation, bursts of anger that would cause fractured families, and of course, suicidal depression, other items like that. A lot of those soldiers are coming back with traumatic brain injury. The RAND Corporation, in its recent study, estimated 320,000. Those haven't factored into the VA figures, but they're certainly something that the veterans are going to have to deal with when they return.
Now, one of the issues that will be coming up in this trial is the unprecedented number of claims that are being submitted to the Veterans Administration. And in fact, I was looking at an Associated Press report which says that these claims have grown to 675,000, or rather from 675,000 in 2001 to more than 800,000 in 2007. But the Veterans Administration is claiming that this increase is actually due to the fact that many of the veterans are becoming older, and as they become older, they're losing employment-related health care, and that is responsible for the increase, rather than the wars in Iraq and Afghanistan. Have you seen any arguments to that effect in the presentations?
Well, the plaintiffs have shown a skyrocketing number of claims. They had a chart that showed from the beginning of the war through to now, you've seen an extraordinary increase, over 500,000. The VA is trying to explain that number away, along with the other claims, with various explanations like the one you mentioned, also to say that the fact that they're taking on so many shows just how responsible they are in treating veterans. There's a lot of crosstalk going on right now. Another one is how many of those claims are properly handled. The plaintiffs, the Veterans for Common Sense, a prominent veterans group, is saying that over 90% of those claims are actually reversed at some point years down the road because they were improperly handled to begin with. You can imagine that's a large legal journey for a wounded soldier who needs care right away. The VA is disputing that claim and saying it's not over 90%, it's actually between 1 or 2%. We're going to see as this trial pans out precisely, you know, whose argument holds water. As they say, Hugh, there are truths, lies, and statistics. Right now we're seeing very different portraits of just how the VA has behaved in recent years.
We're talking with the award-winning journalist Joshua Coors, who's covering the class action lawsuit that began in California this morning. Veterans of the wars in Iraq and Afghanistan suing the U.S. government, claiming inadequate care is leading to an increase in suicides. It's 18 minutes after the hour. What are the plaintiffs asking this judge, Judge Conte, who is himself a World War II Army veteran? What are they asking the judge to do?
There's a pressure on the judge to mandate that these soldiers get care. The basic idea of this case is that when wounded soldiers come to the local VAs, they're being told, sorry, we're full, come back in a few months. They're saying that's not only immoral, it's actually illegal. It violates the due process clause of the Constitution. They want the judge to agree to that statement and force the VA to expand its operation so that when soldiers come in and demand care, that they receive medical care and benefits in a much more timely fashion than, say, 4 to 6 months for their claim even to be recognized. You know, Hugh, I want to go back to those blockbuster emails that were revealed. That was the real gasp moment.
Mm-hmm.
Dr. Ira Katz was the one that wrote that email, and anyone who's followed Capitol Hill in the last few months knows that Ira has come to the testimony of various House committees and painted a portrait of the VA that is rosy and professional. For him, in secret, to be writing, shh, exclamation point, this is a secret. Don't let CBS News know we're receiving 1,000 suicide attempts a month. That hints to the true secret portrait that the VA is trying to hide. You know, one of the statements that a source of mine made, which I think really hits it on the head, is that at every step along the way, the VA has been trying to cover up this scandal, and they've done an incredibly sloppy job of it. I think about one situation I got into a few months ago in the course of my reporting, in which the Army was denying that it was purposely misdiagnosing soldiers as mentally ill in order to deny them medical care and disability pay. They told me that they had reviewed a stack of cases going back 4 years at Fort Carson, where many of these claims originated, and decided that all of those claims were properly diagnosed. But yet the day before, accidentally, they had emailed me a document that was internal to the fort, acknowledging that several of those cases were lost and couldn't even be found. I asked, of course, how they knew those cases were properly diagnosed when they couldn't even be located. They said they couldn't answer that question. Mm-hmm. That's the kind of double talk we're seeing up here on the stand today. And how that's going to continue in the next few months is really going to play out in dramatic fashion.
And I would want to take this opportunity. We're going to take a question or two for you in a moment. I'd like to take this opportunity to refer listeners to your very fine series going back to April 9th of 2007, How Specialist Town Lost His Benefits in the Nation at thenation.com, which was also a blockbuster revelation that having to do with the purposeful misdiagnosing of soldiers as having personality disorder as a way of circumventing obligations to provide them with disability and medical benefits and the potential savings there, ultimately to the taxpayers, of course, totaling in the billions of dollars. Let's take a question for you. Our number is 212-209-2900. You're on the air with Joshua Coors. Hello.
Yes, hello.
Yes.
My issue, my question is to the guest. I'm a Vietnam veteran. I gotten out in 71, and I got out with 3 Purple Hearts, and they were so busy giving me a bad discharge, like a dishonorable discharge, because I was in a medical ward coming through Walter Reed in Camp Lejeune. And I fought tooth and nail for years afterwards. When I got out in 71, I came and charged the government for Agent Orange in the state of Massachusetts.
Mm-hmm.
And they drug it on with 0%, 10%, and they actually almost just drove me crazy And many of the veterans at which I work with, we started forming our own group in the early 70s and got some kind of response from the government in the latter part of the 70s.
Mm-hmm.
The VVA came in and many other vet centers came in. But what I'm asking is, I've been trying to get some medical treatment in the 70s. I couldn't get it. I got discharged with my wounds. I got Juice Rawls and open wounds in the state of North Carolina.
Mm-hmm.
Had to come to Massachusetts to get some medical help. And I was getting out like 0%.
Right. So the question for Mr. Kors is?
Yes. Is there a way that we could get on the bandwagon? I've been denying. When they've been giving me a certain percentage, I've been denying it for past 30 years. I mean, because I felt like they should have went back to day one I got out.
Okay, let's get a response from Mr. Kors. Thank you very much. Appreciate the question. Mr. Kors, a gentleman who says that apparently this is a problem that goes back even before the Iraq and Afghanistan wars.
Well, there's no doubt about that. Simply for the personality disorder scandal, I was receiving fraudulent discharge cases all the way back through Vietnam, soldiers that said they were wounded or got PTSD during firefights in the jungles of Vietnam, were diagnosed with pre-existing personality disorder as the source of their wounds, and denied care for 40 years. This lawsuit is an opportunity for some of those cases to be reversed if the caller is interested in participating in the class action lawsuit. The head of this veterans group is Paul Sullivan from Veterans for Common Sense. Person can find him at veteransforcommonsense.org. I'm not sure if they're still taking plaintiffs for this case, but certainly it'll be representative of the scope of the problem over the last several decades.
Mm-hmm. Mr. Sullivan himself being a Vietnam veteran, I believe.
No, he's actually a veteran of the first Gulf War.
Oh, the first Gulf War. Oh, okay. All right, let's take another question for you. Good afternoon. Talk back. You're up next with journalist Joshua Kors. Hello.
Hello, Hugh. Hello, Mr. Kors. I some harrowing stories, but I think it's important to remember these are government institutions and government bureaucracies that we're dealing with here. And it also gives us a glimpse into what we can expect should we ever have wide-scale socialized health care in this country, considering the VA is the socialized health care institution. But my question for you is, it's a very basic one, and I'll give you a chance to answer it. What is your agenda here exactly? Is it really for concern for soldiers who are not getting the care and services they deserve, or is it more of a political attack against the war effort, or the war policy, or the president?
Okay, Mr. Kors.
As an apolitical reporter, I don't have an agenda. I'm simply here to report on both sides. One of the interesting things about the problems the VA and the Army has had is that in denying wounded care to veterans, that's not really up for debate at this point. The VA acknowledges that it's doing it, and the veterans acknowledge that it's happening to them. When this went to congressional hearing back in July, when pressed to deny that this was happening, the head of the Army facility in question said no, that he was not going to deny it, and that if it was happening, that was really bad. You can imagine expecting two sides to this story. The House Committee on Veterans Affairs was furious, and the chairman, Congressman Bob Filner from San Diego, yelled at the young man who was testifying on behalf of the Army Surgeon General. Here in this case, again, when it comes to PTSD and veteran suicides, nobody is denying the rate of suicide or the delay in which the soldiers have to pass through before their case is treated. Simply the question is whether the court has the right to administer regulations or whether it's solely up to the VA to handle each case as they see fit.
And it would seem that therein lies the crux of the challenge that will confront Judge Conte, because the VA's lawyers are arguing that, first of all, the courts have no jurisdiction to tell the VA how to operate. It has no business in wading into the everyday management of this network that includes 153 medical centers nationwide. So, separate and apart from establishing that a problem exists, the plaintiffs are seeking declaratory and injunctive relief, but I guess Judge Conte will have to determine how far he wants to go in involving the court in the day-to-day management of the VA's affairs, wouldn't he?
And that's exactly right. The judge is going to have to decide how far he wants to step in, or if he does want to let the VA make its own rules as based on the congressional mandate they have. To go back to the idea of this being socialized medicine, I think that's a little misleading as to what precisely is happening with the Army and the VA. These are cases of specific problems. For example, as was cited this morning during testimony, several of the officers in the VA were actually arrested for shredding files from soldiers' medical records and tampering with them. That is the kind of issue that we're seeing when soldiers are pressing forward. Now they can't do that because they don't have the files, or they're too brain damaged to press forward without a lawyer. That's the kind of issue that we're seeing here. And those are the specific cases. Or when we talk about the backlog, 600,000 cases to adjudicate, but yet, as came out this morning, the number of VA facilities actually decreased in the past few years, as one of the regions told the VA that it didn't have enough soldiers in its location to sustain a VA facility.
We've been talking with the award-winning journalist Joshua Kurz, who is covering the trial in California that opened a few hours ago. Today's day one, American veterans of the wars in Iraq and Afghanistan suing the U.S. government, claiming inadequate care and is leading to an increase in suicides, highlighting a number of deficiencies within the current system of the Veterans Administration, and asking the judge to order significant and immediate improvements in this case. Mr. Kurz, I want to thank you very much. I'm going to let you return to the trial, from which you were kind enough to take some time to talk with us, and we look forward to talking with you again with a further update. Thank you so much.
Appreciate it.
This is WBAI New York, listener-sponsored commercial-free radio, broadcasting at 99.5 FM and online, streaming at WBAI.org. I am Hugh Hamilton. Remember, there's Talk Radio, and there is TalkBack. This is TalkBack at 30 minutes after the hour. Stay with us.
Open his chest, you'll see he's got a purple heart. It's a souvenir he brought back from the war. He was shot in 42, but somehow survived.